And tonight we get to hear the thoughts of a man that I love dearly. And I mentioned the other day to him, not today and not tomorrow, but someday I may be free of the body. I don't know, depending on how much longer God's going to leave me here and the devil stays afraid of me. And I don't know, but I believe that someday our church is going to be really safe with Craig and Kim as pastors in this church. Not today and not tomorrow, because they're still little babies. But I believe it. And Kim is not here tonight, but Craig is going to share his thoughts with us. And the government trusts him, so I guess I should trust him for what he's going to say. The government trusts him to talk to, and he teaches our little Navy guys. Now, no wonder they're wild. No, I don't know what he teaches them, but anyhow, that's his job on this earth. Is Mary Elena, is to teach these Navy guys. Oh, my goodness, you might be teaching them by example. Then they're in real trouble. No, I think he has words that he's told to tell them. I think so. Anyhow, a number of years now, that's what he's done, is to go out on those ships and teach Navy men. Isn't that wonderful? And I'm proud to know him. And he's very pickable. That's why I'm picking on him. And I'm eager to hear his thoughts that he'll have for us tonight. And that's our Craig.
Thank you very much. I tell you, tonight it seemed like it would be a great night to talk about prayer. And how I'm going to start this is there's a couple of gospel readings that are really important about this and about what prayer is and what it should be. And the first one is Luke 17:21. It said, "Neither will they say, 'Lo here or lo there,' for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." Is within you. And Luke 18:7-8. "So what makes you think God won't step in and work justice for his chosen people, who continue to cry out for help? Won't he stick up for them? I assure you he will. He will not drag his feet. But how much of that kind of persistent faith will the Son of Man find on the earth when he returns?" So, you find God by going within, and you do so by being persistent. Now, believe it or not, those two lines right there changed Christianity, created Christianity profoundly in the very earliest days. Within the first century, and they've got a real good handle on this, they knew that prayer was seen of as a way to get in contact with God. How do I connect with God? How do I connect with Jesus? How do I connect with the Spirit? And being repetitive about it. It was seen as a direct pathway to a spiritual, emotional, and even physical relationship with Spirit and God. Well, this is really pretty easy to understand. We're all spiritualists here. This all makes sense to us today. Well, and because of Millie's classes, if anybody's seen Millie's classes, many of the types of phenomena, and I don't want to use that term, many of the types of spiritual experiences that are recorded throughout the history of Christianity are manifest on Tuesday and Thursday night and have been for quite some time. I mean, you have the appearance of spirit, you have messages being given, and when we say spirit, I mean all of the spirits, all of the family. Truly, the whole family of Christ shows up there. Whether it's your loved ones who are on the other side, to other more notable figures. And those evenings are quite spectacular. Well, How did they get there? They got there through this inner prayer, and they got there through persistence. Well, in the 20th century, somebody said, well, you know, we're going to label this. It's called centering prayer. And to give it a title, because we have to name everything, I guess. But centering prayer is any form of prayer that guides the petitioner into a state of enhanced experience connecting to the holy. And in the first days of the church, they believed by centering prayer took the form of the petitioner just repeating Jesus' name. In effect, they repeated Jesus constantly while holding their best understanding of who Jesus was and holding to the intent of the petition at the same time. Not unlike the widow in the parable of the widow and the judge. She nagged him until she got what she wanted. That's the parable. That's the story. And that's what they said. Nag God until you get what you want. You have to have intent, and you have to have intensity and effort. It was not a matter of just repeating the name. Intent had to be involved. Indeed, all the Christian forms of worship then followed that model. Forms of centering prayer included the Jesus Prayer and the Rosary. But also the Divine Liturgy in the Eastern Church and the Common Mass in the Western Church were also guided centering prayers. Why do we know this? Because we have the testimony of all the greatest of the saints, quote unquote, the lives of people who lived those prayers, whether Mass or the Divine Liturgy, or whether the Jesus Prayer or the Rosary. The experiences they had, the direct experiences of God, of other saints who had passed on, of their friends and family, who were on the other side, believe it or not. They had the direct union and interaction with them. So we can see that those services were designed to help the average Christian enter into an elevated state that contributed to the direct experience with the spirit world and God. So, that was the intent of it all. The intent is union with God. Or you can be saying the intent was having a relationship with the Spirit. It's the same phrase. It's the same thing. I'll explain how one centering prayer worked. The one that I'm most familiar with is called the Jesus Prayer. And this prayer has been used by millions of Christians in the East and a lot in the West now. It's not better than the Rosary. It's just another type, that's all. And if you understand what the prayer is telling you, it is a guided prayer that will help you to experience direct union with God. That will help you experience direct connection to the Spirit. But just repeating this prayer blindly will not do the job. You're required to understand exactly what you're saying and what you are petitioning for. So if your intent is union with God, you have at least satisfied step one in creating a true centering prayer. Step two is saying each word with understanding, slowly, with your entire intellectual faculty, with all of your heart and all of your mind, dedicated to the fullest understanding of the meaning of each one of those words. And the prayer in short is, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Well, each one of those words in there, each segment of each mini phrase in there, all has a very powerful meaning that unfortunately has been lost in modern times because of, you know, people just weren't aware. Lord, that term, Lord, Jesus is our teacher and our guide on a journey to union with the divine. He set an example and we're following his path. That's all you're saying. I'm following the path of Jesus. Jesus, the man who walked on this earth, who was born on this earth, who lived with our forefathers, who was testified of by those who loved him and walked with him, and who was our brother. Our brother, son of our Father in heaven. Boy, what does that tell you? Our Father. As our Father, he testifies that we are also the children of God. And because we are the children of God, because we are his brothers and sisters, we are the children of God, and we have a right to petition our Father, regardless of how we see ourselves. And Christ is, many people have this misunderstood. It was originally understood as the body of Christ, not as a physical remains of Jesus, but as all the children of our Creator together in union with God. It was everybody. It was everybody who had ever lived, and as some of the monastics would say, throughout time itself. Everybody who stood before the face of God. That was the body of Christ. We're all members of that body. Regardless of what you think about yourself, you are still all members of that body. Believe it or not, Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump are members of that body. Now, the rest of it is a repeat, because you need to repeat. You need to understand how important these are. Son of God. It's just a reemphasis of the above. Have mercy on me. And that comes straight out of the parable with the widow and the judge. The widow kept saying, have mercy on me. She told him exactly what she wanted, and she nagged him until he said, I can take it no more. I am giving you what you want. And then repeating it over and over again with all of that understanding. Now that is guided prayer. It's a prayer that takes you on a journey. Fully understanding, contemplating, and accepting the meaning. Now, that is not unlike the rosary. Both have been used to bring their petitioners into union with the divine. But prayer does not have to be just that. Guided prayers can lift anyone to reclaim their place in the Spirit and allow you to rejoin with the Spirit. One guided prayer that I like and that I use today, I will share with you. But we're going to need to place ourselves in a comfortable position to do that. And we're also going to have to take a little test. The test is not for me. The test is for all of you. And so the test is going to go like this. I want you to close your eyes for just a second. I want you to see in your mind's eye a beautiful red apple. Do you see that beautiful red apple? Nod your head if you see it. I want you to grab hold of that. Can you feel the skin on that apple? I want you to bite into that apple. Can you hear the crispness of the bite into the apple and taste the sweetness of the apple? Can you feel that? Can you taste that? Okay. You can't you? Okay, well, you've passed the test. You can do a guided prayer easily. You can be successful. You can use a guided prayer to get you back in union with Spirit. So, you start with your intention. I am rejoining with Spirit this evening. We're no longer just individuals. I'm going to rejoin with Spirit. Now, not that long ago, we're talking in the 40s, Edgar Cayce actually described it. He stated that in the time before time, like the morning stars, all of us stood together and sang before the face of God. This is what he saw, who we were originally. That was all of us. We all stood together and sang before the face of God. That is where God would love us to return, to that place where we can all be in union again. That's open to everybody daily, every minute of the day. While still being in this world, we can have that perfect family again. So we're going to start with stating the intention. And I'd like all of you to repeat after me. I am rejoining with Spirit this evening. Okay, let's say that again. Let's put a little more life into that. I am rejoining with Spirit this evening.
I am rejoining with Spirit this evening.
Okay, one more time.
I am rejoining with Spirit this evening.
Okay, very good. And now that you're seated in a comfortable position, close your eyes and relax. And allow the Holy Spirit to pour that perfect healing energy down upon you. You can feel it as it pours into the top of your crown. As it slowly fills you from the top of your crown, it relaxes first all the muscles on top of your head and your scalp. As it continues filling you, it fills every cell it touches, and all the muscles around your ears relax perfectly. Now the muscles in your face and jaw are relaxing. And the Holy Spirit moves gradually into your neck, and all the muscles of your neck now relax perfectly. There's no tension anymore in the muscles of your neck. The Holy Spirit is relaxing your shoulders and pouring down into your chest. It is also filling each of the cells within your arms and moves into your hands and finally to the tips of your fingers. You can now feel the Holy Spirit pouring down into your abdominal and back muscles, and then into your hips, slowly filling all the cells within your upper legs, lower legs, finally pushing all the way down to your feet and to the tip of your toes. The Holy Spirit has now perfectly filled every cell in your body, pushing out all the anxieties, stress, trials, and tribulations of this life. You are now perfectly in tune with the Holy Spirit, perfectly relaxed, and assured that this is where you are supposed to be on this day and at this moment of your life. Now, leaving your eyes closed, you're to use your spiritual eyes to find what appears to be an elevator. We're going to use this elevator to raise your energy level so that you can return to perfect union with Spirit. To do that, we're going to go to your spirit control center at the very center of your personal spiritual being. Now go over to the elevator and it will open for you automatically. It does so because it is your elevator that you have used many times before during sleep time to return to your home and your guides and family. But today we're using your elevator to return while you were awake and conscious. So step into the elevator. Feel the carpet under your feet. See the familiar handrail on the inner walls of the elevator that are placed at a comfortable height for you to hold. Touch it. Feel the texture of the wood on the handrail. Now ask the elevator to take you to the 10th floor, where your spiritual control center is. As the elevator starts moving up, you can feel the energy within you begin to increase. This is your personal vibration, your personal frequency. As we pass each floor, your personal frequency will increase in time with the elevator's ascension, so that by the 10th floor, your frequency will be perfectly tuned for you to function within your spirit control center. As you pass the 2nd floor, you can feel your frequency increase within. You might even feel a slight tingling of your skin, but it will never be more than a slight tingling during the entire ascension to the 10th floor, and it will always be a pleasant sensation. Passing the 3rd floor, your frequency increases even more. Now passing the 4th floor, your vibration is feeling that much faster. Your frequency is higher. Your ability to increase your frequency is only limited by your desire to do so. You are a child of God. These higher frequencies are your natural home. Passing the 5th floor, your frequency is now past the halfway point for perfect entry into your spirit control center. Passing the 6th floor, the increasing frequency is becoming even more pleasurable. In some way, these higher frequencies feel like a lost friend. Your soul is an energy being and only gets stronger with the increasing frequency now that you are passing the seventh floor. Passing the eighth floor, you are now over 80% of the way to your optimum frequency. Now passing the ninth floor, you are coming to the tenth floor and you are perfectly in frequency alignment for your entry into your spirit control center. As the elevator gently stops, the doors open, and you can now see your entire spirit control center. Step into your control center. Off to the right are all your control panels. You can see all the various dials, controls, switches, control handles, dials, and levers. With access to those controls, you can control all the aspects of your mental, emotional, and physical state of being. But that is not where we are going this evening. Now look to your left and see a series of doors. One of those doors has a little sign above it. You'll be able to see the door easily. It is the most beautiful door you have. Moving closer to it, you can see the sign above it. It says, Home. There it is. That is the doorway to heaven. That is your doorway home for reunion with your family, friends, guides, and even master guides. That is your doorway. You can see it has a gold handle. Go up to it and open the door. It opens easily to a stairwell. You'll need to ascend a final stairway. Your frequency is at the perfect volume. In climbing the stairs, your frequency, your vibration, will be perfectly tuned and matched to that of your family, friends, guides, and masters who are waiting for you. Taking the first step, you go up very easily. The joy builds with each new step. 2, 3, 4, and the love that has always sustained you in challenging times is now overflowing within your heart. Steps 5, 6, 7, and you're now high enough to see above the final three steps, and you can see your family, first with many others gathering also. Finally taking those last steps, 8, 9, and 10, you step out into your homeland. Go forward. Don't hesitate. Your family is waiting for you. Take the time to meet with them. Time means nothing here. Hold them, talk to them, and love them. In a minute of earth time, we'll return. But until then, continue with your family. It is now time to return. Give your family one last hug, and know that if you ever call upon them, they can come to support you while you are still on your journey here on earth. Now join your thumb and forefingers of both hands together and know that whenever you wish to return to see your family, you will be able to do so by merely joining your thumbs and forefingers again, closing your eyes with the intention to return. And on the count of three, you will return perfectly refreshed, perfectly relaxed. 1, you can now wiggle your fingers and toes. 2, you can now move your arms and legs to stretch. And 3, you open your eyes to a new day. probably a good idea to stand up and stretch. Stand up and stretch. Thank you very much.